Last night, I went to the Old Town School of Folk, which we were just talking about with the Great Moments and Vinyls guys, and saw Amy Mann. And I've seen Amy Mann several times. Amy Mann is one of my favorites. She is just a really great songwriter, a really great singer, and her stuff is really smart and beautiful. And, of course, you know, she wrote the songs for my favorite movie of all time, Magnolia. So I have a she's a special spot in my heart because she wrote the songs for Magnolia. And she was great. This is like maybe the sixth time I've seen her solo, and I saw her when she was with Till Tuesday back in the day when she had the fantastic Rat Tail and sang Voices Carry. That was back in the 80s. If I remember correctly, I saw them twice. I saw Till Tuesday twice. I saw them once headline at the Park West, and then I saw them open for the Thompson Twins. Yeah! It must have been the Rat Tail tour. Because they had Rat Tails too, the Thompson Twins. So did I at one point in the 80s. Had a fantastic Rat Tail. It was awesome. I looked great.
What an idiot.
Anyway, so she was, it was a great show. The banter between songs, as always, with Amy Mann was really funny and really cool. I went with a friend who had never seen her before, and she had a great time. And her set list was fantastic. You know, the second part of the show, the later part of the show, that's when she pulled out all the Magnolia stuff, and that's, of course, when I started weeping. So it was ridiculous. But it was a great show. Oh, by the way, we already got a winner. So you can stop calling in for the soccer tickets because we want to congratulate Joe. Joe from Wonder Lake won those soccer tickets. We have one more pair to give away. We'll give it away at some point this week. But, yeah, so, yeah, Joe's our winner. We got another pair of those soccer tickets, and we will give those away tomorrow morning. So, but anyway, at the show, and here's one of the things I wanted to mention. First of all, that room. The theater at the Old Town School of Folk is a beautiful place to see a show. It's intimate. The acoustics are great. It is just it was built specifically for the best kind of live music experience that you can have, and that's what we had last night. It was really truly a great show. I also wanted to mention, and this is unbelievable, but not at any point during the course of the show did anybody hold up their damn phone and record what was happening on the stage or take pictures. None of that idiocy of holding up the phone in front of the stage happened. And I can't remember the last time I went to a show where that didn't happen. And I mean not once. There was not one single, maybe in the balcony, because I was on the main floor. So I don't know if people were doing it in the balcony. But nobody on the main floor at any single moment during the show pulled out their phone, held it in front of their stupid face, and took pictures or taped or videoed whatever the hell was happening. And I do want to say this. They did have an announcement before the show. They made an announcement that said, we don't want to turn this place into the glow zone, is what they called it. So, you know, please silence your phones, turn them off, and enjoy the experience that's happening in real life in front of you. And I thought that was like the greatest announcement ever. Because it is. It's happening in front of you. Don't look at it through a damn phone. Because the person's, Amy Mann is right there. She's 12 feet in front of you live in your face right there. And you're going to watch the thing through the little telephone that you're holding in front of your face. Ridiculous. But not once did that happen. And I got to say, that was really unbelievably refreshing. And the show was great. Her set list was great. It was one of the best shows I've seen in a very, very long time. From, you know, the set list to just her being one of my favorite artists to the venue itself being an unbelievably great place to see a show and the behavior of the audience, which was great. So high, high marks on everything that you can possibly say about going to a great concert. And then that gets me to say this. I want to hear about your first concert. That's always a fun one. What were your first concerts? 312-981-7200, talk and text. And what were your favorite concert memories and your favorite concert performances and best live performances of all time. So first concerts, favorite concerts, 312-981-7200. News is next, then we'll jump right to the phones and to your texts and to the best and first concerts. Yeah. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Welcome back to the show. Two for Tuesday. Two for Tuesday. Hannah wanted material issue. That's what girls want. And that's what Hannah wants. She's a girl. She wanted material issue. There it is. Okay, it's two for Tuesday. Whatever you want, pick the artist, pick the two songs, and you program it. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Also, use that number for talk and text to tell us about your first concert, the first concert you ever went to, and then some of your favorite concerts and favorite live acts. I saw the magnificent Amy Mann at the beautiful Old Town School of Folk last night, and it was a great show. She's playing again tonight, and if you can get a hold of tickets, I highly recommend that you go. It was a great show and a really great experience, and not one person in the audience lifted up their phone and videoed anything. People were actually watching. God, this is amazing. They were watching like a person perform live in front of them instead of looking through a phone at it. So it was pretty incredible. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for your favorite and first concerts. Vic, what was your first concert? Can you remember your first show?
Unfortunately, I can't forget it. It's one of those.
Okay.
But in my defense, I was in high school. My brain wasn't even fully developed yet.
Right.
And Bobby Brown and New Edition.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
That's
wait a minute.
Awesome.
Whoa.
Okay. All right. I thought I was going to catch some heat.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, I have this segment on my show every Friday called Fly Jams Friday, Vic.
Okay.
Where you are Viggity Viggity Vic.
Uh huh. Yeah.
That's a fantastic. Look at
that. Was
Esmeralda,
my first one.
Esmeralda almost lost her mind.
She did.
I
was shocked at how how good of a dancer Bobby Brown is.
Oh, yeah.
He was incredible.
Yeah.
But I really went because later that night, I went to see my sister at the New Mexico State University. She was going to school there. And there was a sorority event later that night, and I was invited. So.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was a good night.
That's good, man. No, you're going to get nothing but love from everybody on the team.
Okay.
For Bobby Brown and New Edition. Are you kidding me?
I get different reactions from that one.
They're all
wrong.
But I'm
always honest. Okay.
They're all wrong. DJ Shagru loves it, Esmeralda, the Heart Melda, and Wiki Wiki Nikki.
Yeah, and it was that My Prerogative one, so there was a lot of good songs on that.
That's a great, man, that's a great first concert.
Yeah.
Jeez.
All right. Stand
Viggity,
corrected.
Viggity, Vic. Man.
Yep.
All right. What about you, Dan Shagru?
First concert, I mean, I had seen a bunch of bands, but the first, you know, like high school bands that were free in somebody's basement. So the first one I actually punked down money for was Guster at the Bradley University Auditorium, which was fantastic because I had just seen them on like Conan like 3 days before and I didn't even know who they were. And then just was like, why not?
That's cool.
So, and they were great. And that album's fantastic. Favorite?
Yeah, favorite concert?
I always go between two. Probably the answer is I saw Pete Yorn in London. This was, you know, as we talked about, you know, it was very good. I remember hearing him, you know, when I started college. And, again, discovered he was in London and went to this small little pub that maybe held like 100 people and was in line for the concert. And they warned us like, oh, you might not get in. So I started talking to the people in front of me who also happened to be from Chicago randomly. We're with a touring singing company, this one girl who was an operatic singer. So we talked as we were talking, members of the band Travis came into the club and members of the band Train came into the club. Finally got into the club. Only saw three songs, bumped into the guitarist from Train who spilled a beer on me, but it was very nice. He came out for an encore. He played the secret track off the album, so only like 10 people in the place knew it and were singing along, and I was one of the 10 people along with the opera girl from Chicago. and then, you know, because the tube, the subway system there stops at midnight, I needed to get back on the tube. So right after the show ended, I was walking out, and I was like, I took one last look to survey it, and I got a pic from the show and all this stuff, and I look, and as I am looking, I see the operatic girl talking to the guitarist from Train at the bar. And so I wave goodbye to her, but she didn't see me, but the guitarist did. So he waved goodbye to me, and then I rode off into the sunset.
I love that story. I've heard that story before.
Yeah.
I love that the dude from Train spilled a beer on you.
Right, and he's from Illinois. I remember the last time I told somebody, like, texted in, like, oh, I taught that guy guitar. I'm a high school teacher. Like, whatever town. So.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it's a, it
That's a great
night.
Story. All right, Esmeralda, what was your first concert again?
It was All for One.
Ah, All the, Four
yeah.
One. Yes, All for One.
Right.
Number Four.
Again?
I Swear.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I can't remember the other one, but I Swear was the big hit.
Yeah.
And then a favorite, I guess it'd have to be, I saw Garbage at the Vic Theater. Or not the Vic. I saw them at the Riviera.
The Riv, yeah.
When they came around for their beautiful Garbage.
Yeah,
album.
I was probably there that night. I think I was there.
I was front row. Well, I had waited there since 11 in the morning.
Whoa.
At the door.
Whoa.
Because I wanted to be front and center.
Did you get crushed?
I mean, yeah, that's part of the that's part of what happens.
11 in the morning.
Yeah, me and my friend went.
Oh my God.
Very early in the morning.
That's that's a long time.
It was a long time.
Wow. It was a good show if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was the time when I would do that.
Yeah, no.
Nowadays I'm like, forget it.
Oh no. I've camped out for tickets. I've slept overnight for tickets in the past. I slept over. I camped out for Police tickets twice. I camped out for David Lee Roth solo tickets.
What?
I did. Yeah, for the Eat 'Em and Smile tour.
Ooh, was it worth it?
Yeah, man, it ruled.
Okay.
And the opening act was Cinderella, man. Yeah! At the Rosemont Horizon. Yeah, or it's the Allstate Arena, but it was the Rosemont Horizon then. We slept in the parking lot of the Rosemont Horizon outside to get tickets for David Lee Roth.
See, I've never, well, you know, technology and all, never had to wait for tickets. But it's more waiting in the line or waiting right there
if
at the
door. If it's general admission, then that's
to get
why.
To the front.
Yeah. The general admission stuff, like last night's show, the Amy Mann thing was not general admission. So that was cool. So you don't have to get there 9 hours early to scope out a good spot. We had really nice seats. We had a nice table. And it was good. But yeah, the general admission stuff, I can't deal. That's why when I was asking you about Taya Hall, because I'm going to go see Built to Spill there, and I was like, is general admission, are there seats? And you were like, oh, on the main floor, there are no seats. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh, man.
No seats, all open. But the balcony, when I went to go see Charles Bradley, that was ticketed balcony.
Yeah. Well, I have tickets for John Carpenter. For that, he's playing there in July. Carpenter is. And John Carpenter, yes, the filmmaker and musician. And I am going to Detroit the night before to see him. I'm going on a road trip to Detroit to see John Carpenter in Detroit. Because, now listen, first of all, I'm a fanatic. Everybody who listens to the show knows. John Carpenter doesn't tour and play his music very often, if ever. This is like one of the only times he's ever toured and played music from his movies, and they're going to screen Escape from New York. I mean, it's just...
See, that's cool.
It's very cool.
I would definitely get seats, though, for that.
Oh, I did.
That just seems weird to stand there and just stare at him.
Yeah. No, I did. I got seats for Taylor Hall for Chicago. Or up in the balcony. I got like I went nuts and I got like the VIP thing, which is like a backstage. I just went, it's John Carpenter, man. So
look at you.
So I just was like, I'm going to do the whole VIP. My friend Ryan and I are going. He's also going to Detroit. My friend Ryan, the night before we're driving to Detroit to see John Carpenter. Such idiots. But the place in Esmeralda, the place in Detroit that he's playing, it's seated, the whole place. So.
Yeah, I can't deal with. I was barely keeping it up with Charles Bradley.
I can't stand. I can't. No, I'm not going to stand
just standing
for 2 hours.
There, I'm like,
no,
ugh.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it, man. I'm 50. You know, I'm pushing 51, and I'll be 51 when John Carpenter comes to town. So I'm not going to stand.
Yeah, I also made the mistake of wearing heels.
Yeah, me too.
You wear a sturdier heel though.
I do, yeah. You know what? I borrowed Dan's fish heels.
There you go. See, those are stable.
Yeah. They're very good.
I'm glad you didn't kill Shaft and Superfly.
Are you kidding? I fed them. It was nice. They were very happy. All right. What was your first concert and your favorite concert? We got some texts flying in and some other things here. And it's all because of this terrific show that I saw last night, Amy Mann at the Old Town School of Folk. And she's playing tonight. And if you can get tickets, get them. It was a great, great, great show. And she's awesome. And the Old Town School of Folk is a great place to see a show. And we'll get to your phone calls and texts and more conversation about first and best concerts right after this. I have not heard this song in well over 30 years. I have not heard that song in well over 30 years. And two for Tuesday. Two for Tuesday. Dave, pulling one out of the darkness. Neil Sedaka, Bad Blood. Now I'm trying to think what could possibly be the next song that Dave requested by Neil Sedaka. There are a few possibilities, but Bad Blood by Neil Sedaka, Dave pulls that one out. Jeez. What year was that? 76, 77 maybe? Man. All right. Two for Tuesday continues. We're talking about concerts. What was your first concert? What was your favorite concert? And I got mine coming up here, but we want to get to some phone calls here. Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, first concert, I was 15 years old in 1978, saw the Ramones at Knox College Harbach Theater, and it was just the loudest. I was mesmerized.
Yeah, I saw the Ramones. I saw the Ramones in 1993. Just the one time I saw him. And I remember going in thinking, this was at the Riviera. And I remember going in thinking, okay, it's 1993, the Ramones, man, they're going to be old and they're not going to be good. And they were unbelievable. They were unbelievable. And it was, and as you know, you've seen them, Steve, and you know the Ramones. They used to play like 50 songs in 25 minutes.
Oh, yeah, nonstop.
Nonstop. 1, 2, 3, 4. Next song would start. They'd seriously, in an hour long set, they'd play like 35 songs. Crazy.
But my best show, it plays in Alton, Illinois, called Danny's. But I saw Warren Zevon there, and it's like a seated bar. It holds like maybe 400 people.
Yeah.
And Zevon it just killed me.
I was lucky enough. I saw Warren Zevon like 5 times. He was just amazing. That guy was unbelievable. I never got to see him in a place like that, though. That's pretty cool, Steve.
Yeah, well, it was out of the blue. We got down to Cardinal game and stopped, and there were still door tickets available.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's a great memory. And he was incredible live.
It was great.
He was incredible. All right, thank you, Steve.
All right.
Take care. Yeah, Warren Zevon, man. He was so cool. There's a dude that needs to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Something needs to be done about that. Warren Zevon needs to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's just wrong. That's just wrong that he's not in. My first concert, I've mentioned this before, was Black Oak, Arkansas. Fantastic. Jim Dandy to the Rescue was their big hit. And the opening act was Bad Company before anybody knew who Bad Company was. So that was fun. I don't know what my favorite show is. I mean, it's hard for me to pick out what my favorite show is. It might be The Police in 1981 on the Ghost in the Machine tour with the Go-Go's opening. That was a pretty great show. Metallica. Every time I've seen Metallica, Metallica is like one of the best live bands of all time. Metallica live, anytime. I would say that probably the tour for the Black Album in 1991, I was in the pit. So I was like right in the middle of the stage. I went 2 nights, but I was in the pit 1 night and it was great. That was 91 on the Black Album tour. Unbelievable. Public Enemy and Anthrax. One of my favorite shows of all time at the Aragon. at the Brawl Room. And at that show, that's the show where my friend, and Esmeralda, did I ever tell you about my friend Mike Meredith?
No.
He and I and like four other guys went to go see Public Enemy and Anthrax at the Aragon. And for some ridiculous reason, they put folding chairs connected with 2x4s on the floor, on the main floor at the Anthrax Public Enemy show at the Aragon. And there was one guy that was with us who was about 6'5", 290. And he just started picking up the chairs like a snake and like grabbing them and whipping them, and they would like curl until he busted the 2x4s and tore the seats apart and so that we had room to move. And then I ended up, it was ridiculous. I ended up, somebody elbowed me in the face. I ended up with a bloody nose and I had a busted 2x4 in my hand and I was on my friend's shoulder screaming. And I remember I was dating, you know, I was dating at the time. I'll tell you I was dating at the time. No wonder she broke up with me. I was dating Leslie Presley at the time. And I met Leslie Presley afterwards. We met at the show was at the Aragon, and we met afterwards at the Red Lion. Is the Red Lion still around, Dan?
Yes, technically. Like, it closed, but then it got reopened with the same name, but it's not the same, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, well, this back then, the Red Lion had that second floor where you can go up second floor, and then they closed that down, because that was a damn fire hazard, that place up there.
The haunted one on Lincoln?
Yeah, the one on Lincoln.
Oh, yeah, it's over on Rockwell now.
It's on Rockwell.
Rockwell and Western. Or not Western, Lawrence.
Lawrence and Rockwell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not the same thing, clearly.
Yeah, it's all kind of hidden away.
But that the original Red Lion on Lincoln was, I spent so many nights in that place. We were there all the time. My friends and I were there all the time. Every weekend we went to the Red Lion. Anyway, so we told the people that weren't going to PE and Anthrax that we'd meet them at the Red Lion, including my girlfriend, Leslie Presley. And so she was like, I can't believe you're going to go see, because she hated that kind of music, hated Anthrax, didn't understand Public Enemy, and was like, I can't believe you're going to go there. It's going to be crazy. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. You're going to get hurt. And I'm like, oh, shut up. It's going to be great. And then I walk up the stairs to the Red Lion. She's sitting at the table. I walk up. I've got blood all over my face. I'm like soaking wet. And she's like, oh, my God. I'm like, it was the best show I've ever seen in my life. I'm like half in the bag. I got blood all over my face. I was on top of my friend Steve's shoulders with a busted 2x4 during the show. And I'm telling her how great it was. And I'm like, yeah, it's fantastic. So at that show, we went to go get beer at the we were drinking, oddly enough, at that show. A show where I ended up on somebody's shoulders with a busted 2x4 and a bloody nose. I actually had a couple of beers in me. So we went to go get a beer, my friend Mike Meredith. Now, Mike is another big guy. I hang out with a lot of big dudes, guys that are a lot bigger than me. Mike is a heavy, heavy dude. And we are walking to go get beer at the back of the space at the Aragon. And we walk back there and we each get, you know, two beers. Because that's what you do. You want to, you know, you get two beers so you don't have to go back again for another one. So we're walking back, and Mike's pants fall down. He's got a beer in each hand, and he's walking, and his pants fall down. Now, Mike is like a 350-pound guy, and his pants fall down to his ankles, and his pants are down. And so I'm going to put my beers down on a counter, you know, and take his beer so he can pull his pants up, but he doesn't do that. He starts drinking one beer. And he's drinking the beer. He's like guzzling this beer. People are walking by. His pants are at his ankles. So here I am. I'm standing next to this 350-pound guy with his pants around his ankles, chugging a beer because he didn't want to put the beer down to pull his pants up. He thought it would be a better idea to finish one beer completely, put the empty cup, put the full cup inside the empty cup, then reach down and pull his pants up with the free hand, which is what he did. So that was his plan. He thought that was the better idea. So I'm standing next to this guy and looking, making eye contact with people. I'm standing right next to him, and he's guzzling a beer, head full back, drinking beer, pants gone. And I'm just kind of standing there nodding at people as they walk by looking like we're a couple of lunatics. I'm like, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. This is my friend Mike. His pants are down. So he'll pull his pants up. As soon as he finishes his beer, he's got his priorities. He wants to finish his beer before he pulls his pants up, which I think is a good idea. Because in about an hour and a half, I'm going to have a bloody nose and a 2x4 in my hand. So tonight, these are the kind of decisions that we're making. And it actually was one of the best shows I've ever seen. So, and Leslie Presley broke up with me. Well, actually, we lasted for about another 5 months after that, I think. Wow. All right. We got a break. We got the news coming up. First concert, best concert, 312-981-7200.
If you go, then I'll be blue. Because breaking up is hard to do.
Dave, for Two for Tuesday. Two for Tuesday, baby. Yeah, Two for Tuesday. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. And the great Steve Cochran at 6. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor here. And it's Two for Tuesday. And Dave requested Neil Sedaka. Now, here's the question, Dan. Did he specify the original version of Breaking Up is Hard to Do?
He did not specify.
Because in the 70s, Neil Sedaka released a remake of his own song, but it was slower, it was sadder. Well, it was the same lyrics, but the execution was a lot different. Like, it was really slow, it was piano-y, it wasn't, you know, it was sad. It was very melancholy. The arrangement was this.
Girl, there's just no living without you. Don't take your love away from me. Don't you leave my heart in misery.
See, I prefer this version to the original. It's sort of like, you know, piano bar, kind of bluesy, and 70s and corny. I like it. I actually like it better than the original. But we didn't know which one Dave specified, so there's both of them. So, and he had a hit with that, too. Like, that version was a huge hit. Yeah. All right. 312-981-7200. Last night I was lucky enough to see the great Amy Mann at the Old Town School of Folk. She's playing again tonight, and I highly recommend going. Her set was great. Everything about the show was terrific. One of the best live shows I've seen in a very, very long time. So that got us to thinking about what was your first concert, which is always fun to remember, and what was your favorite concerts, those kind of things. We got a bunch of texts coming in at 312-981-7200. We'll get to those in a second, but here's Tim on WGN. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Nick. Morning.
Morning.
I don't have this incredible memory like you, so I don't know what year it was, but it had to be sometime in the early 80s. My dad traveled a lot for work, and so my sister and my mom were involved with the Brownies or Girl Scouts, whatever.
Yeah.
And for some odd reason, the Brownie troop decided to go to see the Pointer Sisters.
Yeah!
So I tagged along, and I have very vague memories of this. All I remember is, you know, these three women up on the stage and smoky lighting and some tunes that kind of really stuck in my head. And
it's
and
at the Pointer Sisters' biggest or their most popular period was the early 80s, in fact, Tim. I would imagine like 83, 84 would have been the...
Yeah, it makes sense. I was born in 74.
Yeah.
My sister's a couple years older than me, so Brownies, I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That range, so, yeah. So it was, it's just like one flash in my head, but for some reason it's never left.
Yeah, I can understand that. The Pointer Sisters, very cool.
The
All right.
Sisters.
Thank you, Tim.
Then,
yeah, your favorite.
Yeah, the favorite. I'm sort of a musical nut, and I used to live out east, and I go to New York City a lot and see some shows on Broadway and such, and I kind of fell in love with Bernadette Peters.
Yeah.
She was just phenomenal for many, many years. She dominated the stage out on the East Coast there.
Yep.
And she came to Ravinia, and she did a concert there. So it wasn't your typical rock show or your pop band or anything like that. But
yeah.
She did like a full piece orchestra, and she performed a lot of the shows that, you know, she had been in over the years, including a couple of them, Into the Woods, which I was in at some point. And it was very touching. You
yeah.
know, there's certain things that really evoke these very pleasant memories and takes sort of like a happy place. And
she is,
it was
yeah.
thrilling. Yeah.
Well, she's extraordinarily talented, Bernadette Peters. She's fantastic. You know, a lot of people forget that she dated Steve Martin.
No way.
Oh, yeah. That's why she's in The Jerk. But if you watch,
wow.
Yeah, they dated for a long time. They were an item in the 70s, yeah.
I can't see that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I don't know either one of them, but that does not seem like a good combination.
Yeah, and when the Jerk came out, that was about two or three years into their relationship. They dated for a while. I think they dated into the early 80s.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Now, do you have any idea how old Bernadette Peters is now these days?
She's got to be in her late 60s, I would guess. My guess would be late. My guess, Bernadette Peters, my guess would be 66, 67. That would be
68.
She's 68. We just found
68.
Out. Tim. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Tim.
Yeah,
thanks,
cool.
man.
Hey, thanks, man. Right, enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Just about every night, so I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Yeah, man. Bernadette Peters. Yeah. She's awesome, man. All right. 218 area code says, the first best concert I attended was in Hammond Civic Center in the 70s. It was Fats Domino, Carl Perkins, Bo Diddley, and Danny and the Juniors. Ooh. Wow, that's a good lineup. 617 area code. First concert, Dave. Well, DMB, Dave. I'm ashamed to say that I was a huge... Hey! I'm ashamed to say that I was a huge fan. I've seen them about a dozen times. I realize now they're terrible. No, they're not. I've seen them over 30 times, 617 area code, and I will go back and see them 30 more. One of the best live bands ever in the history of anything. Every show I've been to, every Dave Matthews show I've been to has been phenomenal. Every one of them, and they're all different. Every night is different. It's one of the reasons why, like, when they play more than one night at a venue, you go. Both or three nights. That's what you just do that. So, and I can understand why, you know, there's a sense of like, oh man, I'm sorry, but I happen to like Dave. I get so much grief for liking Dave and seeing Dave. 33 times I've seen Dave. I get a lot of grief for that. I don't care. I love him. I know, and I realize the fan base is filled up with a bunch of douchebags. I know that. I understand that. And I know that, like, I'm a guy who criticizes the Dead and Fish and Jimmy Buffett. Like, that's not my scene. And yet I've seen Dave Matthews 33 times. So I know, I realize I'm being hypocritical. Except the difference is, like, Dave's band is great. That's the difference. Like, some of the greatest musicians on the planet are on that stage at the same time jamming. So... But man, don't apologize for liking Dave. You're in a safe haven, Dave fans. This is a Dave safe zone. You are free to admit that you like Dave Matthews here. All right. It's just so weird that I just told a story about me on the shoulders of my friend with a bloody nose and a busted 2x4 at an Anthrax Public Enemy show, and then I've seen Dave Matthews 33 times. What's going on in my head? Mike is on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning. Great topic.
Thank you.
Well, you do have quite a range, I have to say. I'm more of just an old heavy metal guy. I'm 54, and I saw it's kind of hard to remember some of the old days, but I remember seeing Kiss early on. I don't know if it was my first one, but the theatrics of it, you know, and all that. And
I saw Kiss probably 5-6 times back in the 70s, yeah.
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 And then I remember seeing, you know, you being a Sabbath fan too. You know, Van Halen backed up Sabbath back in the early days.
Yes.
When it first came out. Everybody's like, who are these guys? And they just took off. You know?
Well, it's, you know, that's, I remember that Van Halen, when their first record came out, right before it took off, because it was out and it didn't really take off for a while.
That's right.
But they toured with everybody. Like Van Halen opened for every, like, insanely popular heavy metal or rock act of the 70s, Van Halen opened for them. And
yeah.
I mean, I would kill to see Van Halen open for Sabbath. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
And then, And then 79, I think they played the Aragon, and it just really took off.
Oh, that was it. That first album, man, when that first album took off, it was all over. They were like the biggest band in the world.
And, you know, back then, all those concerts at, you know, also Comiskey Park and, you know, at the, and Soldier Field. And they're just so many. You know what? I ended up seeing UFO Recorder Part of our live album here. And there's just so many memories. Music just takes you back to such a great time in your life.
Mike, you know? I had tickets for that amphitheater show that eventually became Strangers in the Night. And my parents wouldn't let me go because I had like 104 fever.
Oh, man.
Yeah, tell me about it. it's like I would have been live at the recording of the greatest live album ever recorded. I mean, it's just
I worked at TSA when it first started, and I saw Michael Schenker come through, and I was talking to him about it. You know,
yeah,
and it was just something. I'm like, you know, I don't want to but swear or anything, but and then of course I asked him how Rudolph's doing, like I know him.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing Scorpions at the old at Navy Pier. When
for Chicago Fest?
Yeah. You know, my first album, I got to say, I do remember that was Alice Cooper, Billion Dollar Babies. I was in fifth grade.
Great record.
I bought it at Rolling Stone.
Yep.
And that pretty much started me off on my road to mayhem.
All right, Mike, I got to run.
Hey, yeah, take care. Thanks for your time.
All right, buddy, take care. Yeah. Yeah, man, Scorpions. I went to see the Scorpions one time at the Rosemont Horizon. Bon Jovi opened. They got booed off the stage. They got booed off the stage. The Scorpions fans would have none of Bon Jovi. I was one of them, too. I'm like, get this guy off the stage with his hair. And this was like when Runaway had come out. Ooh, she's a little runaway. And they sucked. I mean, they came out and they were even cheesier then. I mean, if it's possible to think of Bon Jovi cheesier than they were when Slippery When Wet came out. Just picture them for like two albums before that. She's a little runaway. The Scorpion fans had none of it. They were like, get the hell off the stage, man. Go back to the Aquanet factory and hang out there, jackass. All right. We got to take a break. Man, we have 8 million texts coming in, so we got to get to those. Take the gas. Two for Tuesday. And that's these are your requests. This clearly is not mine. 309 requested some Guns N' Roses. I hate that band. But it's Two for Tuesday. So there you go. Have you heard some of Axl ruining AC/DC? Have you heard that?
I haven't.
It's horrendous.
Oh. Well, that's what I was expecting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Paradise.
No.
Grass is green.
Sucks.
No?
Nope.
November Rain.
Sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a 74-minute song.
Poor Stephanie Seymour.
That video's cool.
Badass.
Never understood why she ever wore the plastic thing.
I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't know. Honest to God, I don't think I've ever heard that song all the way through. And I know I've never seen the video all the way through. It sucks.
Missing out.
I don't know. You know, I've mentioned before, there's two songs I like by them. Civil War, which is on one of the Use Your Illusion records. I don't know which one. And One in a Million, which is on GNR Lives. And every other song sucks. And 90% of the reason I don't like the band is because of Axl Rose.
Oh, apparently the director of November Rain also directed Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Well, everybody can make a mistake, and I mean November Rain.
And Highlander 3.
Russell Mulcahy? No.
No. No.
Russell Mulcahy directed Highlander. He started with, he directed the original Highlander, and he started with videos. He directed some Duran Duran videos.
Andy Morahan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that guy.
Son of director Christopher Morahan.
Good. You're doing research on the November Rain video?
Well, I was hoping, because it was such a big thing, I was hoping that it was something, like some big director or something like that. Not really.
All right. 847 says, my first concert was Robin Trower, and it was awesome. Robin Trower rules. My most memorable concert was Guns N' Roses at the Allstate Arena. I was standing on the main floor when a girl put her hand on my leg and then started moving up. When I pulled away, she realized that I wasn't her boyfriend because she was so wasted. Hey, did I ever tell you that I knocked Sebastian Bach on his ass? Did I ever tell you that story?
He's a big dude.
And I knocked him on his ass.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
He is tall.
Yeah. And I'm 5'8", and I knocked Sebastian Bach on his ass.
On purpose?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Because it was a Soundgarden show. It was at a Soundgarden show at the Riv. It was the Riv. I think it was the Riv. And I was down on the main floor, and the mosh pit started. Okay? And so I was on the outskirts of it. Because I didn't, let the people circle around and do their thing. And I was like in the outskirts. He comes flying in, Sebastian Bach. I don't know what they were doing in town. I guess they had played a gig or something. Comes flying in from the back, knocking people over, punching people. He was running around punching people. He comes up to me, knocks me over. Then he flips around, starts running. So I run up behind him and I knocked him on his ass with my elbow. I elbowed him to the floor. And people cheered. Because, first of all, Sebastian Bach at a Soundgarden show, and then he runs around in the mosh pit knocking people over and punching people? The dude from Skid Row is at a Soundgarden show? Decides he's going to go into the middle of that crowd? Hi, I'm from Skid Row. Remember, I suck. Remember, you guys started listening to this music to not listen to our music anymore. You remember that? Remember? Remember when this kind of music ruined my kind of music? What are you doing there, man? You're not welcome, dude. So I elbowed him, and he went out, and he fell on his ass. It's one of my claim to fames. I had to do a, Tony Jaa, Jackie Chan jump to reach his head. But I got him. Oh, man. 262 area code says, first was the Village People at the state fair. My favorite was Cher's first farewell concert. Well, how many has she rode in on an elephant? She rode in on an elephant? Of course she did. Of course Cher rode in on an elephant. What is this thing about getting animals that should not be in concerts and riding them out onto the stage? Ted Nugent riding buffaloes out on the stage. I bet you didn't think I was going to have an effing buffalo. She rode out on an elephant. How many farewell concerts has Cher had? Right? I mean, she must have had like 15 farewell tours. All right, here's Jim on WGN. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
All right.
I used to work for JAM, and I was a freelance photographer. So in 1977, I get a call. It's like 2 in the morning. You got to come down to the Checkerboard Lounge. It was on 43rd and like Halstead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Rolling Stones, Muddy Waters, and a couple local guys, Lefty Biz and stuff, are all there playing music.
Oh, man. That's
there's 22 people. 22 people. And then, there's no cell phones back then.
Right.
Early in the morning. Like for the most, I don't think there was more than 50 people in there all night.
Yeah, that's one of those after hours things where the guys just wanted to go out and jam somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Did you get some good shots, Jim?
Okay, pictures in Rolling Stone and Cream and Circus Magazine. Yeah, back then I was pretty good. Paul Mackin?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were equals.
Oh, very cool, man. All right, Jim, that's awesome.
My personal favorite. You ever hear of a band called Angel?
Of course. If you hold their logo upside down, it's the same.
Yeah, it's the same. Back when, you ever see them live?
I've never seen them live.
When they headline, they come out. This is, back 78, 79, they had holographics. Where they just appeared out of boxes. Not like they just started some tape and they were standing there playing. It was the wildest thing I ever saw.
I'm so glad. So glad you brought up Angel. You know, they had the same management as Kiss.
Yeah, Casablanca.
That's right. It was Casablanca, and they were put like, so the same people that got behind Kiss tried to push Angel. Do you remember, Jim? Let me ask you a question. Did you ever see the movie Foxes?
With, yeah.
Okay.
20th Century Foxes.
Yeah, with Jodie Foster. All right. Now, do you know the big band is Angel?
Right.
They go to the that's
the song, 20th Century
yeah,
Fox.
Yeah, but I just love the fact that if you go back and watch this movie, Foxes, they were, you know, like the big concert that they've been waiting all year for is Angel.
Well, Casablanca, when they did it, they wanted the opposite of Kiss. They wanted these guys all, that's why they're all white. And
Right.
They told me stories like they you'd have that same, you know, dress, whatever, uniform.
Yeah.
For three, they only had three or four. Can you imagine that stuff all stinky after 2 or 3 years? Where it had been crap?
So they only had like three costumes.
They all had, they said to me, they only had, you know, two or three of each. And they were all handmade, so they couldn't be put in the laundry.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right, Jim, I got to run. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks, Nick.
Take care, buddy. If you ever check it out, you should. If you've got like a Google image thing, well, if of course everybody does, but you should check out the logo for the band Angel. So if you just like Google Angel, you know, like rock band, and then look at their logo, if you flip it upside down, it's the same, man. It'll blow your mind, man. So the logo for the band Angel, upside down, it looks exactly the same. You can flip it upside down, it looks exactly the same, man. Angel. Did you know, by the way, that if you flip Dio's logo, it says devil? Did you know that? You didn't know that, Dan?
No.
If you look at Dio's the logo for Dio, you turn it upside down, it looks like the word devil. Yeah, man, that's what I'm talking about. We got a break. And by the way, I just looked up at the traffic camera, and Esmeralda's head was upside down. She was looking at her computer screen with her head upside down.
Try to see what you're all
right.
Seeing.
We got to take a break. All right. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man. Two for Tuesday. 309 requested Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
You know this song is used at the end of a horror movie? Are you are either of you familiar? You're all, you know, the Guns N' Roses experts. Esmeralda knowing every detail of the November Rain video. Do you know what movie at the end credits, what horror movie uses a Sweet Child of Mine?
Oh, I feel like I know this.
Mother's Day.
No, it's not Mother's Day, but this movie that I'm about to mention was mentioned yesterday on the show.
So it's a holiday related
movie? No, we were talking about it has something to do with the conversation we were having about Carrie. Wasn't that yesterday or was that?
Yeah.
That was yesterday, right?
Because we were talking about moms.
Right. So, yes, we were talking about moms, Piper Laurie and Carrie. So, and then I talked about how I get freaked out when I see someone covered in blood, like a woman covered in blood. And I mentioned this movie.
I was watching the November Rain video.
That's what I thought. No, you both were. And oddly, Esmeralda was watching it with her head upside down, trying to figure out what...
trying to see those hidden messages.
Okay, it's from the movie Bad Dreams.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't
it? And it was before the album like really took off. Like it's at the very end credits of Bad Dreams. And also, Welcome to the Jungle. You know what movie that's used in? With Jim Carrey lip syncing it. You guys are you familiar with this?
Cable Guy? It's the only.
No, it's not. No, because they do a karaoke thing in that movie. That's right. No, it's not. It's Jim Carrey plays a rock star in the movie, and he sings the song. He lip syncs to it, but he's singing the song. For a movie that's being directed in... Okay, so the movie
Deadpool.
Within a movie. Deadpool. That's right. It's Deadpool.
Wait,
not
what?
Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool, the Clint Eastwood Deadpool.
No, not... No, Clint
Dead
Eastwood...
Space Pool.
The Dead Space Pool.
Oh.
It's a Dirty Harry movie, the last Dirty Harry movie.
And
Jim Carrey... Jim Carrey is in it as he ends up dead. Uh-huh. And he's in it as like a rock star guy making a movie. And the film, the scene that they're filming, the movie within the movie, is Jim Carrey singing Welcome to the Jungle. And do you know who the director in the movie who plays the director of the movie within the movie? I have a particular set of skills.
Liam Neeson's?
Yes.
What?
Liam Neeson's.
I need to see this movie.
Liam Neeson's. He plays the director of the movie that Jim Carrey is lip-syncing the song to, which is Welcome to the Jungle.
Well, man.
See? I know more about Guns N' Roses than you do.
I would counter you know more obscure facts about Guns N' Roses.
Well, I think
than you do.
I know more obscure facts about Guns N' Roses when it comes to movies.
And it's just where the song was played. It really has nothing to do with any detail.
No. It's I know those movies. I don't know Guns N' Roses. I know those movies. Like, I know Deadpool. I saw the Deadpool like 9 times in the theater because it's Dirty Harry. It's Clint. But yeah, Liam Neeson plays the director, and he's like the target of the Deadpool. What happens is there's a guy running around killing people who are he made a list of celebrity his Deadpool.
Right.
And this guy's running around, and Liam Neeson plays the director who's that, and he's like, I'm not scared because I have a particular set of skills.
Right. He'll beat you know. You up.
That's right. I will throat punch you.
And feed you to wolves.
Yeah. He kicks wolves' asses.
Does he?
Did you see The Gray?
I still haven't seen it, no.
Oh, Liam Neeson's.
I need to, yeah.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to mention that Dan, our fine producer, put a gif or a gif.
He did. I saw it after the fact.
Of Angel, the logo, the band Angel. If you look at the logo upside down and up and right side up, it's exactly the same. And Esmeralda was like trying to stand on her head.
Right. Well, how else are you going to look at it? I mean...
It's the same thing. Now, I remember when I was when they came out, I was like, man, that's cool. The band sucks, but man, their logo's cool.
I wonder how long it took them to do that.
Yeah, 10 minutes. And Angel, and of course I knew that Angel was featured in the movie Foxes. I just remember in the movie they made a big deal. Like, oh, we're going to see, like, Jodie Foster and all the girls. Sherry Curry's in that movie, too, from The Runaways. And she's in that movie. And they were like, I remember the girls being, oh, they're so excited. Man, we're going to see Angel. And there's like 5 minutes of footage of Angel performing in that movie. Is it, how about this one? You guys remember a band called Sparks? Of course you don't.
No.
All right, Sparks. Dan? Look up images for these guys. You really got to see these guys to believe them.
RKS or
no? It's Sparks. They're like regular. Okay. They get regular Sparks, I think. Yeah. And so these guys, it was like a duo, and they had like this weird looking. You know, he was like a goofy looking lead singer with striped shirts and like curly hair. He was the lead singer, and then this goofy robot like keyboard player who looked like Hitler. He had like a crazy Hitler. You know who I'm? You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm confused.
That's Sparks. They were popular in the 70s for about 5 minutes, and they are featured in the movie Roller Coaster.
Look at that one.
Yeah, man, that's Sparks.
They look like they should be in that SNL bit with Mike Myers. What's it?
Wayne's
Sprockets.
World? Yeah, Sprockets. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
They look very Sprocket-like.
But so they were like popular for 5 minutes in the 70s. And for that 5 minutes, the Irwin Allen, who produced all the disaster movies, they produced a movie called Roller Coaster, which starred George Siegel as a guy trying to stop a mad bomber from blowing up roller coasters at amusement parks. And it was in Sensaround. So it was not only... It was one of those ridiculous movies in Sensaround. Sensaround, for those of you who don't remember, was the brilliant idea that somebody came up with blowing weed in the 70s, thinking, here's the deal. We'll put giant speakers in the back of the theater. And whenever, like, you know, they had it in Earthquake... So whenever there was an earthquake in the movie Earthquake, they would crank up the bass and put these speakers on, and the whole theater would shake.
Mm-hmm.
So they had these movies in Sensor on. There were like 4 of them. Roller Coaster was one of them. So every time they did like a subjective point of view of the roller coaster, the Sensor Round would go off. But the problem was ceilings started to fall in at theaters.
Oh, no.
Oh, absolutely true. the Sensor Round would go. People would just, it would shake, and then plaster would fall from the ceilings. These were, you know, grindhouses in the 70s, these theaters. Mm. They brought in these giant bass speakers, and the back blew the speakers out. And the other thing was, and it was also right around the time when multiplexes started to pop up. So let's say Theater 1 is showing, you know, California Suite, the lovely Neil Simon comedy, but Theater 2 right next door is showing Earthquake. You're watching California Suite. All of a sudden, blah, 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 it bleeds into your theater. Like, what the hell is going on?
That love is so strong.
Yeah. But anyway, Sparks was in Roller Coaster. And there's a part of the movie where the guy's going to blow up the new roller coaster at the new amusement park. And to kick off the festivities at the amusement park, they have Sparks perform. They have these two idiots, the guy who looks like Hitler and the other guy.
It does not look like they'd be the type of band to do that.
No, and they're kicking up. But at the time, they had like a little cult following. So the producers went, let's put Sparks in there. That's what the kids like. So the guys who made Foxes, the kids love Angel. Put Angel in there. All right, here's Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Nick, another bullseye topic. First concert was UFO, 1978, Hammond Civic Center.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah, and that was the will Michael Schenker, won't Michael Schenker show up? and sure enough, Paul Chapman's there, very capable guitar player, but I miss Schenker. Yeah. Later saw him at the House of Blues to get my revenge on him blowing off that concert.
Yeah.
That was number one. I was the only guy with a car, so I'm driving everyone in my Volkswagen Beetle. and that guy earlier just mentioned Scorpions at Chicago Fest. I think that was August 7th of 79, I believe. And August 8th, the next night, they played at Beginnings in Schaumburg, the late Beginnings nightclub.
God, the Beginnings, man. You look at some of those old ads.
Oh.
I think you can find them online. Look at the lineup that Beginnings had. They had everybody played Beginnings.
I mean, and if you didn't know it was there, you'd drive right by it.
Exactly.
And I had to sort of misrepresent. I was 17 years old at the time, so I was suddenly a few years older if I could get into that bar.
Yeah, of course.
But, yeah, they were great, fresh out of Chicago Fest. one of my favorite concerts, I remember flipping through the Illinois Entertainer, maybe 2001, and I go, the Dead Kennedys at the Rock House in Aurora? And I'm thinking, is that the Dead Kennedys? And I called, and they said, sure enough, I knew Jello had left the band. Jello,
yeah.
But East Bay Raycos, Fluoride, Pellagro, they were there. And the replacement singer was none other than a tattooed-covered Brandon Cruz, Corto Pavetti's father.
Are you kidding me?
And he walks out, and I'm going, wait a minute, maybe it's a different Brandon Cruz. And I looked at his face, and it was like, picture of Dorian Gray. You remember that from Bill Dixby in the show?
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's unbelievable. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was a little bar of the Rock House, no bigger than the living room.
Yeah, no, I've been to the Rock House. I know.
Yeah. and I had my knees were up against the stage. I was a foot away from East Bay Ray playing that beautiful Fender Strat.
Yeah.
And I jumped on stage and got the music list when they left off.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
And there was, you mentioned UFO, you mentioned Strangers of the Night last week, and it's always funny the discernible difference between amphitheater, and then they go into rock bottom, like song five or six, and it's a real quiet crowd. It's like, wait a minute, this isn't the amphitheater. And of course, it was Louisville, Kentucky. That was the other half of the album was shot there, but not quite as rowdy a crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally, Ozzy at Assembly Hall. Ozzy Osbourne. He opens with "Over the Mountain." This is maybe 1981. Randy Rhoads is playing. Tommy Aldridge was the drummer, and Ozzy's running around. Boom! Collapses. Carry him off stage. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. 15 minutes later, Ozzy's really sick. Show's canceled. That's right after he bit the head off the bat that he thought was fake. And so that was my 10 minutes of fame, being able to see Randy Rhoads alive because that stupid plane crash got him after that.
I got to see Randy Rhoads. I got to see that before he died. But, yeah, that's interesting, God. All right, hey, thanks. Thank you, Steve.
I'm sorry, one more. And probably the concert I would have been my best, but I didn't go because I had a bum knee, was AC/DC at the Aragon, and that was right before Bon Scott died.
Oh.
Could have been there.
Oh.
See you, man.
All right, Steve, take care. God, see Bon Scott. This means nothing to Esmeralda's like, I have no idea what the last 5 minutes, what any of that was. We didn't have time for another Two for Tuesday. This is our last bump. So Dan played One by Amy Mann, which is the reason why this whole conversation with concerts started. Amy Mann is again playing at Old Town School of Folk tonight, and I can't recommend you go. I've seen her a bunch of times. She was great last night. It was one of the best shows I've seen in a very long time, and that was her big encore closer, was One from Magnolia, the best movie ever made. So you ready for some more texts? Here we go. Peter in Decatur said, my favorite concert was fall 1969, U of I Assembly Hall, The Stones, with two opening acts, one of which was B.B. King. I sat in the fourth row.
Wow.
It's amazing. Jay in Ohio, my first concert was America. A Horse with No Name is a great song. Yeah. So I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. Tom from Norwood Park says, I saw Kiss and Rush in Palatine. The first concert I ever saw was Sha Na Na at the Aragon. And since I work at a venue, there's a lot of great bands. It's hard to pick a favorite. First concert was Super Bowl of Rock number 4, 1977. I was probably there.
The Super Bowl of Rock?
I can't remember, but one of the Super Bowls of Rock that I went to was Nugent Skinnerd, 38 Special. Was at Soldier Field. But the headliners were Nugent and Skinnerd.
Right.
And it was Skinnerd right before the plane crash.
I feel like this is also a CD that you can buy late night. Super Bowl of Rock.
Yeah. And the in the Comiskey had like the Comiskey Park, they would call it the World Series of Rock.
Mm.
So if they were at Soldier Field, it would be the, you know. So if they did like a, you know, at the Chicago Stadium, it would have been the Stanley Cup of Rock, which they never did, oddly.
It doesn't roll off the tongue like the other one.
No, it doesn't. It's also not like an outdoor venue. It's also not a place conducive to having like six bands play.
Yeah.
Because if you're outside at Comiskey during the day and the show goes into the night, that's different. And you show up at the Chicago Stadium at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and leave at midnight. It's a little different.
A little bit.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears at St. Paul Auditorium, 1963. John Denver opened up. Oh, my God. Favorite would be Alvin Lee with Wishbone Ash opening up. That's good. Laura says, my first concert was Eric Clapton. For a variety of reasons, my first concert wasn't until I was 40.
Goodness gracious.
My sisters made me go. It was amazing. I love listening to your show, Nick. Thank you. 386 area code says, first concert I went to was Three Dog Night in 1973. Oh, my God. 1973. Three Dog Night may be the biggest band on the planet. If you were go back in your DeLorean to 1973, they were the biggest band on the planet. Seriously, they were massive. This guy was 13. I saw him at the McCormick Place. Had to pick up the tickets, last row balcony. I went to the box office. They asked if we wanted to upgrade to the main floor. I asked what row. For another $20, we were in the third row. Ooh,
wow, $20.
Third row. That's a lot of money in 1973.
I mean, yeah, but still, third row.
Yeah. For Three Dog Night, which at that time, like I said, biggest band in, you can't imagine. They, by the way, recorded a fantastic version of One. Probably the most popular version of One was performed by Three Dog Night. See how all this stuff is connected? Because this is a professional radio show. We don't play around here. Is Dumont on the line?
We don't just sit around looking at an angel logo.
You have a JFK chalkboard with lines, just strings.
I diagram the show like I diagram like sentences. Sentence. Yeah. Diagramming sentences is sexy, by the way. I just want everybody
to know. Oh, God.
847 area code. My first concert was March 1987. Huey Lewis in the News at the Rosemont Horizon. I saw him again in 88, and they invited all the people in wheelchairs to go backstage for their 10th anniversary. I still have the signs I made for the show, signed by Huey and lead guitarist Chris Hayes. Huey Lewis rules. Oh, this is a good one. 630 area code, Deep Purple, 1971 Auditorium. Oh, man, that's good. They were just inducted, too, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But Ritchie Blackmore wasn't there. So it was absurd. All right. Hey, opening bell is next. So let's talk to Steve and find out what's going to happen. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
We've got coming up for you on the opening bell later this morning. We have obviously the latest market news from around the world, but new names will be added to the police memorial in Washington, D.C. today. We're going to tell you about some of the stories behind those names and the business of law enforcement coming up on the opening bell just a few minutes away now.
Cool. All right, Steve.
Have
thanks.
A great day.
You
Bye.
Too, buddy. All right. Here's some more. Oh, here. Yeah, this is a big good one. I think you probably ended up seeing these guys at least once or twice.
Who's that?
708 area code says, first was Johnny in the Leisure Suits.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I saw them at Blarney Island.
Blarney Island.
Yeah.
Did Johnny drop his trow?
He did not.
That was his thing. you know.
I don't think he did.
He used to drop his pants and go, yeah, baby!
Not that. Not that concert. Not that show.
This was at Poplar Creek. Johnny in the leisure suits. Yeah, that was his, that was Brandmeier's thing, dropping his pants and going, yeah, baby! I'm not
he still
kidding.
Does the yeah,
that's
baby.
That's why he became so popular.
He does not drop his pants.
Like in the 80s, people went, oh, this guy's amazing. He can drop his pants and go, yeah, baby!
Multitasks.
He was extraordinary.
Your friend was ahead of his time.
Way ahead of his time, man. Did that guy on the radio just drop his pants and go, yeah, baby? He won like Peabody Awards and stuff because he dropped his pants and went, yeah, baby! 268 area code. First concert was the Carpenters in 1970. And the best was Queen the day after Christmas. Oh, my God. In London, 1979. Oh, come on. What are you? Come on. That's not fair that you went and I didn't.
Bring them back.
What's it, man? 815 area code. Favorite concert, 1984 Van Halen at the Rockford Metro Center. David Lee Roth was flying around while the band played Panama. All right. And then finally, let's see, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. We did that one already. Humble Pie, 1974. And Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young in 1975. So, all right. So tomorrow, Esmeralda, we have lots of stuff. We'll have a singer-songwriter live in studio doing some songs. And we're going to do a round of Would Esmeralda Buy That?
Aw, yeah.
Okay? So we'll get some crazy products and find out if you'd buy it.
Get paid on Friday. So
all right.
I need some ideas.
Okay, Johnny Kemp. We'll see you tomorrow. All right, we'll take a break. The opening bell is next on WGN.